today. We're thankful for the privilege and blessing to be with you and spend this time together. I was last evening at the prayer meeting, we sang the hymn, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. So he still does that. We're thankful for that. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll take our text this morning from the chapter here. I'd like to preach a message titled, The Profession of Our Faith. This is specifically, this profession is taken specifically from the book of Hebrews. Maybe it's a little more of a study this morning that way, but Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. This passage, we're just taking a text from this passage, but we want to consider the profession of our faith. The profession of our faith, if I would give it a subtitle, it would say an unshakable faith or an unwavering faith. As we look there in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. First John 5 says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And what God wants to work in us, he wants to work in each of our lives an unshakable faith, an unwavering faith. And so God has that goal in mind. He has a goal he's aiming at, and he's working us towards, and he wants to bring us to. It just continues to purify our lives and to change us. To us men this morning, God desires for us men to be strong in faith. We are to be towers of strength and stability for our families and our homes. He desires to work in us men an unshakable faith, an unwavering faith that as it meets the difficulties of life, we heard about the children's lesson there, as it meets those challenges, as it meets those difficulties, we're men. We have frailties. We have needs, and sometimes we stagger a little and we struggle. But he wants to continue to work in us. God has an eye on our lives, and he wants to continue to purify our faith and to strengthen our faith, so that we can be towers of stability for our families. You know, the devil knows the destruction it brings into lives when the fathers are distracted or turned away from a stable, strong faith, an unwavering faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That opens the door for tremendous challenges in the lives of children and families. He wants us men to, he wants to work this faith in us so that we can provide an atmosphere of peace and security in our homes, where we're not easily rattled and shaken or disturbed and unsettled by the conflicts and challenges of life. God wants to work that kind of a faith in us men. And to you ladies, God desires for you to be strong in faith as well. I know you believe that and you agree with that, but he wants you to be strong in faith as well, in the full assurance of faith. He wants you to have a living, vibrant faith that is deep and solid in a living God. So he's working each of us. He's working you ladies to that. He's wanting to bring us and work in our lives this unwavering, this unshakable faith in the living God. And I know you sisters, I know sometimes I almost feel like we can be a little weak sometimes on encouraging the spiritual vibrancy and vitality of our sisters. I know that's not, we don't do it intentionally, but we need ladies, we need women like Timothy's mother and grandmother, who are able, who are strong in faith, in an unwavering faith in a living God. A faith that overcomes and also is unwavering as you face challenging situations. A life that is not so much directed out of your emotions, out of your feelings, but a life that is stable and solid in the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, you may have more of those emotions and feelings. That's okay. But God wants to continue to work in your lives a faith that is solid and unwavering. You see, that's so important because at least my wife does. She lives with an imperfect husband, and she is actually called to reverence me, and that's not always easy. The only way she'll be able to do that is with a strong faith in God, because sometimes I disappoint her. But if she has a strong faith in God, it enables her to be what she is called to be to her husband and to her children in the midst of an imperfect world. And she's able to walk through disappointments and challenges without them just overcoming her and flooding her. And together, this helps also to provide a solid home environment of stability and peace for your family, where we have men who God is working in us and bringing us towards this unshakable faith and working in us an unwavering faith in the living God, doing the same thing in our wives. And I would say to you young people, God wants to do the same in your lives. God wants to work in your lives, young men, young ladies. He wants to establish in you an unwavering faith that will carry you triumphantly through the temptations of youth and the difficulties of life. An unwavering faith that just continues to be strengthened and that continues to grow in the living God. A living, solid faith in a living God, in things like your future, and things like the future of this world, as we look at the challenges, and we look at just the instabilities of the world. But when you think of regarding your future, whether it includes marriage or not, and those kind of things, it's easy for us to be taken up with circumstances, to be taken up with challenges. And then, I'm sorry, young people, but sometimes there are church challenges, there are problems. In the last 6 months to a year, my heart has been broken, and it's a painful time, it's a painful thing to walk through. And I think especially of our young people. It's a confusing thing, it's a challenging thing, to walk through challenges, and especially church problems, and disappointments and discouragements. But that is the fact of life. You will face disappointments in life. You will face challenges in life. You will face trials as well. And God wants to work in your lives, young people, a faith that is able to overcome, a faith that is able to be strong in the Lord and that doesn't waver, even though it doesn't understand. It don't have to understand. We don't always understand. But he wants to work in your lives also a faith that is able to honor and trust imperfect authorities in your life. Because as a daddy, there are times I disappoint my children. I don't mean to. I don't want to. I don't want to disappoint young people in the congregation either as a minister. But the fact is, I sometimes don't see things the way I should or as perfectly as I should, I'm sure. And sometimes I disappoint people. I don't want to, but you will face that in life. And people will disappoint you, young people. Your parents may. Your authorities may disappoint you. But if your faith is unwavering, that won't destroy you. It don't have to destroy you. It can make you better, actually, and not bitter. So God wants to work in us and in you this faith that is not destroyed when you face disappointments. A faith that is able to overcome difficulty and trials. A faith that is solid and stable. And to us as parents, again, I would say that this faith, we are called as parents to have a faith, an unwavering faith in our home. This faith is to be like an anchor for the rest of the family as we think of a boat that's weathering the storms of life. This faith is, see, we have all of God's resources available to us in the grace of God. We have all of God's resources available to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is faith that gives us that vibrant connection to those resources. It is faith, a living faith, that somehow is the channel for those resources of God to come into my life and to empower me and to grant me the strength that I need to not be moved by the circumstances and the storms of life. And I would say here that one of the greatest things, parents, that we can give to our children is a living faith. Or the testimony of an unshakable faith in the living God. And one of the richest heritages we can give to our children is to show them and pass on to them and live out as a testimony to them an unshakable faith in the living God. I think that's a priceless heritage. It's a priceless thing to pass on to our children, an unshakable faith. And we know that our faith should be a contagious faith, especially for our children. Now, to all of us here, I want to ask you a question. Is my faith prepared to handle the relationships in my life? The first time I preached this message, a week later, three families left the church. Is my faith prepared to handle the relationships in my life? You see, in Luke 17 there, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was talking to them, and he told them some challenging things. He said, it's impossible that offenses will come. It's impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It's better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Then he says this. He said, but it's impossible that offenses will come. He says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in one day, and seven times a day in a day, return to thee again, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And so that's what he said. He said, "This is, it's impossible that offenses will come. You have relationship. Wherever we have relationships in our life, we will face the opportunity to be offended. We will face disappointments." And he just shared that with them. And he said that if seven times in one day your brother trespasses against you or your sister, and they turn to you and say, oh, forgive me, can you do that? Can you do that? And it's interesting to me that the apostles heard this, and they looked to Jesus, and they said, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. If we're going to be able to handle those kind of relationships, if we're going to be able to overcome and not be flooded by those relationships and those offenses, we must have more faith. He says, increase our faith. There's some of the opening introductory thoughts here. But is my faith able to handle someone who disagrees with me? Is that okay? Can I handle that? Do I have to try to annihilate the person? Or can I still find some respect in my heart for that person? Is my faith able to handle someone who disagrees with me? Is my faith able to handle someone who disappoints me or hurts me? Am I able to forgive them, to love them, to honor them, and live at peace with them? That's hard to do. It takes a faith that goes beyond the circumstance. It takes an unshakable faith in the living God that somehow says, oh God, you allowed this. You permitted this to happen. And I choose to forgive and love this individual. And I choose to honor them in spite of what they have said or done. So that's a question we want to try to answer this morning. We want to try to consider this morning. We want to talk some about the profession of our faith. I think this is very close to the heart of God, very important in our Christian lives. But is my faith prepared to handle difficult and challenging circumstances? You know, sometimes we have this mentality that it's actually part of what's called the wealth, health and wealth gospel, that it just spread like wildfire in Africa and also in South America. And when you see it there, it makes you angry in a sense, because you can see the tremendous damage that it has done among people. But we sometimes develop this mentality that if I serve God faithfully, everything will be good. Everything will be fine. But the fact remains that bad things do happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. And we need to remember that. It will be okay if we trust God. But if we are so, if our faith isn't solid, if our faith is too shaky, when we meet those bumps, it will unsettle us. And we'll be tempted to blame God, or we'll be tempted to blame the circumstances. You know, that's what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness. They had tremendous, the way that God revealed himself to those people is tremendous. They saw those plagues upon the nation of Egypt. They saw God deliver them with a mighty hand. And it just validates that our faith is not necessarily strengthened by experiences. It can be, I think, but it wasn't. The children of Israel's faith was not. They had tremendous experiences, but they weren't in the wilderness but 3 days, 2 or 3 days without water, and it was too much. They couldn't handle it. They were murmuring and grumbling and complaining because they were thirsty. I mean, how much power would it take for God to provide water for them? How much less power would that take for God to do that than to destroy the army of the Egyptians? I mean, how much easier would it be for God to give them water and food? But here they are. God carried them out of Egypt, and their faith was not prepared to handle the challenges of the wilderness. I think of Job. We're not going to talk about that. And I think of this phrase here, and I've pondered it for years, in Matthew 13 there, the parable of the sower. It talks about the one type of soil there and how the seed fell in that soil, and it maybe sprung up a little bit, but it had no depth of earth for its roots. And when Jesus talks about that, he just says this phrase, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. This one type of seed, the one condition of the heart, it sprung up. But then when the sun came out, representing challenges, difficulties, when the heat was turned on, it burned up. It couldn't handle it. So is my faith prepared and able? You know, in 1 Peter 1, it talks there, and this 1 Peter was written to a people who had just been an emperor-wide edict went out in persecution against the Christians. And Peter wrote his letter to the churches after that had happened and had begun to be implemented. Tremendous persecution. But he says there in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, he says, the trial of your faith is more precious than gold that is tried by fire. And so God is working in us and wanting to work in us this kind of an unshakable and unwavering faith that is deeply grounded and settled and rooted in the Word of God, as we want to look at here in Hebrews. This hymn we sing in hymn 627, it says, faith is the living power from heaven, which grasps the promise God has given. Faith is what reaches up and takes hold of that promise. Securely fixed on Christ alone, a trust that cannot be overthrown. Faith finds in Christ whatever we need to save and strengthen, guide and feed. This is essential. This kind of a vibrant faith is essential for everyday life because it needs to continue to feed. It needs to be fed on a daily basis. We need to have a living, vibrant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that He is our all in all. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is what we need. And it's a living faith that is able to feed on that every day and draw from Him what we need into our lives. That's what that verse is saying. Faith finds in Christ whatever we need to save and strengthen, guide and feed. Strong in the grace, it joys to share His cross and hope His crown to wear. It joys to share His cross. Faith, an unwavering faith, is able to embrace the cross and say, it's okay, it's not the end. This death is not the end. Faith to the conscience whispers peace and bids this mourner's sighing cease. By faith the children's right we claim and call upon our Father's name. Faith find such faith in us, O God, implant, and to our prayers thy favor grant. In Jesus Christ, thy saving Son, who is our fount of health alone. Jesus Christ is our fountain of health. So let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our faith without wavering. We read as our text. Let's hold fast the profession or confession of our faith without wavering. So what is the profession of our faith? What does a Hebrew writer give as the profession of our faith? And I'm not saying this is conclusive, but I believe that we can find the confession of his faith that he gives us in Hebrews chapter 1. Let's turn there. In the first three verses. So what is the profession of our faith? He's telling us here in chapter 10 that we need to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. What is the profession of our faith? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And I want to submit to you this morning that I believe here we find the profession of our faith as given to us by the Hebrew writer. I'll give you the three points we want to consider, and then we want to go through and look at them more extensively. First of all, the first point in this profession of our faith is that God hath spoken unto us by his Son. And in the Greek, that word there, verse 2, is en. It's en, so it could also be translated in his Son. God hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son. And I want to submit to you this morning that God is still speaking to us in and through Jesus Christ. This is a living message that continues every time we turn to the Word, every time we open the Scriptures, every time we read about the life of Jesus. God is still speaking to us in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. And here it's the Word. He has spoken to us in his word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, the second part of this profession, if you allow me to try to separate it out a little bit. I see here that Christ, the word, is creative and powerful. It says here in verse 2 as well, that whom he hath appointed heir of all things. And it says, by whom he made the worlds. And this tells me that in our profession of our faith is that the word, Jesus Christ, is creative and powerful. God creates universes and worlds through Jesus Christ. Powerful and creative. That's part of the profession of our faith. God's word is creative and powerful. It's also transforming. It transforms, it recreates. And thirdly, is here that Christ, the Word, is our high priest. He's our high priest. Okay? So let's try to break these down just a little bit and look at them. First of all, God hath spoken to us by or in the Word, his Son, Jesus Christ. See, when God speaks, it becomes his Word. And this is probably harder for me to put into words than I can, than my mind can grasp, but Jesus is God's message to us. Our message, Christ is the essence of Christianity. And sometime earlier this year, I had a burden for this. I preached a message called, How much Christ is there in your Christianity? How much Christ is there in your Christianity? Because Christianity can become something that doesn't look at all like Jesus. And then I said, how much Christ is there in your Anabaptism? How much Christ is there? So Christ is the essence of Christianity. And God's message to us is Jesus Christ. Paul said, I knew nothing, I purposed to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was my message to you, he wrote to the Corinthians. Christ is the essence of Christianity. And I think we have to continue to come back and back to that. We have to continue to come back and back to the essence of Christianity, to the foundation in the nutshell. It says here in Ephesians 4, he's writing there and he's telling them in verse 17 that we should not walk as the Gentiles walk. And he gives some definition there of how the Gentiles walk. But then in verse 20 he says, but ye have not so learned Christ. You didn't learn Christ. That's not what you learned from Christ. And then it says in verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him. If you have heard him, Jesus, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And so the profession is of our faith is that God is speaking to us, has spoken and is speaking to us in the person, in the life, in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He continues to speak to us through his word, the living word, Jesus Christ. He's still speaking to us. Maybe we can look at this later. But I want you just to keep your finger here, and I want you to impress this on your hearts. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, we're talking about here, and you can follow this theme through each one of these three. Each one of these three themes that we're pulling out, each one of these three points that I'm submitting to you this morning make up the profession of our faith according to the book of Hebrews. You can follow the theme clear through the book of Hebrews. And here's, we see it. Chapter 12, verse 19, Brother Enos read some of this. He mentioned this verse, so we'll get to. Now it says, in the sound of a trumpet, in the voice of words, I'm sorry, I should have started in verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. In the sound of a trumpet, in the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Who's he talking about? Where's the mountain? Which mountain? Mount Sinai. Who was speaking? God was speaking. And what was the people's response? No more. You talk to Moses and he'll tell us, but we, I'm reading through Deuteronomy right now in my personal reading, and it just amazed me, it just smacked me right in the face again, those first few chapters. But the people said, no more. We cannot endure God speaking to us. Even though it has been proven now that a people can actually hear God speak and live, yet they said, no more. Okay? That was there. And this was the problem. They closed their ear. They closed their heart to the voice of God, to the word of God, to the law of God. That was the problem. They didn't hear him anymore. In verse 20, for they could not endure that which was commanded, and if as much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. Anyway, it goes on there, verse 22, so it says, you're not come to that. That's not what you're come to. This is a contrast, verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. I mean, wow, that's quite a mouthful. He says, you're not come to Mount Sinai anymore in that covenant, but you are come to this Zion, the city of the living God. And then it goes on in verse 24, and it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now it says, verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. And that's in the present, ongoing, continuous sense in the of the word. It's don't refuse him that is speaking, because God wants to speak to you through his word, through Jesus Christ, through the life and example of Jesus Christ. He is the message that we have, and he wants to continue to reveal to us more and more truths about himself through the person of Jesus Christ, through his word. He's saying, don't refuse him that speaketh. Don't refuse him. God is still speaking. God is still speaking to you through the circumstances of life. The trials of life last week and this week, God wants to speak to you. God wants to talk. He wants to reveal Jesus Christ to us. He wants to reveal more of himself to us. He's still speaking to us. Every time we open this word and we look in this word, God wants to speak to us. Don't refuse it. God is speaking to us as part of the profession of our faith. God is speaking to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word. And he uses circumstances of life to do that. He's still speaking to us. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. And then it goes on there. A part of our profession of our faith is that God is speaking to me through Jesus Christ. It's not a mystical voice in the sky. It's in his word. It's through his word. It's in his spirit. It's confirmed by his word. It comes to us through the brothers as we sit together and we open the word of God. God wants to speak to us through Jesus Christ. And he is that message to us. I appreciate several prayers this morning. We're praying, asking God to continue to form us into the image of his son. His son, that's the standard of righteousness in the New Testament. It's up there. It's not 10 commandments or 100 commandments, but in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, the standard of righteousness is the life and example of Jesus Christ, and that is still speaking to us. Calling us, come on up. I want to take you. I want to take you and continue to change you. And it takes, and we must hold fast the profession of our faith. And that's one part of that profession, is that God is speaking to me, and God is calling me. All right, let's look at the second part of that. Christ the Word is creative and powerful. It tells us here in chapter 1, verse 2, that by whom his Word here, his Son, by whom also he made the worlds. You ponder on that and think about it. So the profession of our faith, another part of this in this profession is that Christ the Word is creative, powerful. Okay. It tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 3, that says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's by faith we understand that the word of God, Jesus Christ, is powerful and creative. And the things that we see, everything we see, was made out of nothing. That's part of the profession of our faith. Our profession is that Jesus Christ is creative. He can make worlds out of nothing. He can feed the children of Israel. He can feed the children of Israel in a wilderness for 40 years. He can do that. There's nothing there but sand and desert, and there's no food laying around there unless he sent the quail. But he can do that. Jesus Christ, our profession is, he can do that. Jesus Christ, you have a roughly 600,000 men. We don't know how many with women and children. But you have this whole multitude standing here, and they're thirsty, and they're extremely thirsty, and there's no water anywhere in sight. But the Word, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. He can take this big rock, and he can make water come out of the rock and give water to all these people. He can take care of their thirst out of a rock. They all drank from that spiritual rock which followed them. That was Jesus Christ. He can do that. He can take five loaves of bread and two little fish. And there's a multitude of 5,000 men at least. And they're all sitting there, and two little fish and five loaves of bread. And Jesus Christ can take that little bit and he can feed the whole multitude with 12 baskets left over. Our Lord Jesus Christ is creative and powerful. He can take that little bit and he can make it so it's enough for everybody, with more left over than he started for. That's the profession of our faith. Jesus can do it. I'm up against the wall. I don't see a way through. But an unshakable faith says, it'll open up. God will make a way. A faith that is shaken is looking at the wall. Unshakable faith says, I'm looking to Jesus. He is creative and powerful. Jesus Christ can stand in the boat when the waves are rocking and the wind is blowing and his disciples are all fearful and trembling. They say, we're going to die. He can stand in the middle of that boat and say, peace, be still. And the elements obey him and the wind stops. That's the profession of our faith. Amen? We believe that. Can he do it for you? Can he do it for me? He can. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the profession of our faith is Jesus Christ is creative and powerful. He can make something out of nothing. He can say to the leper who had no hope in this world, there was no medical hope for him. There was no hope for this leper. He was destined to leprosy and certain death. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, he can take that leper and he can say, I will be thou clean. He's healed immediately. Because Jesus is powerful. The Word of God is powerful. He can still transform lives today. Lepers. The Word of God can take a man who's dead. And we sang something about this, not Lazarus, but it said living dead faith and make it alive or something. Or dead people live, I think it said. But he can take the Word of God, so powerful, creative. He can stand at the door of the tomb, and behind the rock is a man who's been dead for 4 days. Totally dead. I mean, dead, dead, dead. 4 days. He's stinking. So the decay had started. It's interesting. Isn't that something? Jesus waited until the decay had started, unless somebody would say, you know, he was hanging out in there for 3 days, and this was all put together. No. The decay had started. He was dead, dead. And he says, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. That's Jesus. That's who we serve. That's who we believe in. He can meet a blind Bartimaeus on the road to Jericho. And this man has no hope to see. He's blind. In one encounter with Jesus. And that man went away seeing. That's the profession of our faith. Christ, the Word, is creative and powerful. It's still the same. It still changes lives. It still makes a way for us. Our profession is that Jesus Christ, the Word of God, has creative power. He can take my circumstances. He can take my challenges. And he can make a way for me to walk. He wants to do that. He will do that if we can trust him, if we can believe in him. That's why it's so important that we hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. You see, this also includes, not only is Jesus Christ creative and powerful, but it says here in our profession that Christ, the Word of God, is upholding all things by the word of his power. In the Amplified there, it says that Christ is upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. He's holding it all together. Why would it be hard for him to take 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiply that when he's holding the whole universe together by his word? That's how powerful his word is. So in essence, brothers and sisters, this is telling us in our profession that Christ is in control. It's not the devil. It's not that other person. It's not someone else. It's not Joe Biden. It's not Elon Musk. But Christ is in control. It's not Bill Gates. Jesus Christ is in control. It is not the devil. Ultimately, Jesus Christ is in control. We can look at that in Colossians 1:16 and 17. But the very hairs of our head are all numbered. Five sparrows are sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more in number than the sand. By the way, who wrote the code of your DNA? Who wrote the code of your DNA? In my DNA, every cell we have has a written code of DNA in there. They know it's in there. They don't know who put it there, or they claim they don't. Somebody wrote the code of our DNA. Isn't that amazing? In Christ, we know who it is. It says he's holding the universe together by the word of his power. Christ is Lord of all. This is the profession of our faith. Let's hold fast to that without wavering. You see, if that is the case, then we can say, through the tears, we can say, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. But if we don't hold fast that profession, we'll start moving around. We start looking at the wrong thing instead of holding fast to that profession. But we can say, it'll be okay. We can smile through the tears. We can even do that. It'll be okay, because Jesus knows, and he will take care of it, and he will work it out. Our faith wavers and shakes when we don't hold fast the profession that God is in control. You know, the children of Israel were hungry and thirsty. That became their obsession and their focus instead of God. And I don't think they were very thankful either, because they seemed to forget pretty quick what they had been delivered from. But so thankfulness can cultivate the right heart. Okay, so the third part of that, our profession is that Jesus Christ, the Word, is our high priest. Tells us here that he purged our sins. He washed us from our sins. And then he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So what does that tell us in a sense? It tells us that our salvation is in Jesus Christ. He washed us from our sins, and he sits at the right hand. So that was past. If before we're a Christian, we come to Christ, and he takes care of that past and washes us from that guilt and from the sins of our past. And then he takes care of that past, praise God, and then he sits on the right hand of God to intercede for us going forward. Isn't that amazing? He is our salvation. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He took care of that, and now he wants to take care of this moving forward. So he purged us from our sins, and he sits at the right hand of the majesty on high to intercede for us and to pray for us so that we can, to enable us. This is our profession. That sounds pretty blessed. Now, the rest of chapter 1 here, we're going to run through here just a little bit. The rest of chapter 1 here in Hebrews is summarized in the 4th verse, I believe. It says, being made so much better, this is Christ, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And I think the rest of the chapter in Hebrews 1 spends some time comparing him with the angels. It's beautiful. I'm not minimizing it. But let's go on to chapter 2. So we have those 3 points of our profession. Chapter 2 opens up here, and I'm not putting too much stock on these chapter breaks, but anyway, we see it here. It says, verse 2, what does it open up with? Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. It goes right back. Jesus Christ is God's message to us, and see that you refuse not him that speaketh. And he's saying here, give earnest heed to the things that you have heard. In our hearing, lest at any time you should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels, referring to the... By the way, what is that referring to? The word spoken by angels was steadfast. What do you think? Yes, Brother Steve. The law, I think so. Because Galatians 3 says the same things, that the law was given by angels in the hand of a mediator. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, is making a contrast here again, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. And it goes on there. So here we have this profession of our faith is, again, that God is speaking to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. See that you hear him. See that you don't neglect that salvation that has came to you. It's part of our profession. We have a warning there. If we move away from that foundation, our faith will waver and be shaken. God's word and faith are vitally connected. And our faith needs to be settled and established on this word of God. And God is speaking to us by faith through his word, through his son, Jesus Christ. So we see it there, the warning given. Now if you look at verses 5 through 9, it reminds us again that Jesus Christ is in control, that he is all-powerful. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man? And it goes on here, verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he hath left nothing that is not put under him. So that is the fact. Jesus Christ is in control. Is that right? Did he say, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore into all the world. Is Jesus Christ in control? Is he in control? Amen. Amen. But the next phrase of that verse, the last phrase in verse 8 says, but now we see not yet all things put under him. That's the problem. We sometimes look around and it doesn't look like he's in control. But we need to, profession of our faith says that Jesus Christ is in control. He is creative and powerful. He is in control. It reminds us here in chapter 2. Now, it goes on, the last part of chapter 2 reminds us, maybe we could start in verse 14, for as much then the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he took part of the same. And it reminds us in verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So, we have those 3 points. In a sense, you have those 3 points again in chapter 2. Be careful that you listen and you don't let those things slip that you hear and that God is saying to you through his word and through Jesus Christ. Remember that Christ is in control. That's the profession of our faith. And he reminds us again that he is a merciful and faithful high priest. Not only is he God who sits there and intercedes for us, he is God that chose to identify completely with our humanity so he can be merciful and faithful high priest. Profession of our faith. Let's go to chapter 3. It tells us here that Christ is a faithful builder in the first 6 verses. Now note here in verse 6. He calls him a high priest there in chapter 3, verse 1. But notice verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So here's that calling to holding fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Okay? It's important, very important, that we can hold, that we hold fast, that we get a little bit of a glimpse of the profession of our faith. What do we confess? What do I really confess? Is that what my life testifies? I can say it with my lips, but is that what my life is showing? The profession of our faith. Whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And he gives the example here of the children of Israel. He already had said they heard his voice but didn't obey it, or they didn't want to hear it further. Now it tells us here again, verse 7, wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice. First part of our profession. Today. Wait a minute. He spoke to me yesterday through his word. No, it's today. Let's keep it current. Today, as you're going through life and you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You hear the voice of God saying, that was wrong. Go apologize. You hear the voice of God saying, repent. You hear the voice of God saying, here's an opportunity. Speak to that individual. Don't harden your heart. Very present tense, okay? Harden not your heart. But it's hearing that voice speaking. You get that? The profession of our faith. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of murder, an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief that moves away from the profession of our faith, that says God is in control, it'll be okay. And yes, that hurt. It really hurt, but I forgive you. But gladly. And I love you. Take heed, brother, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Here comes God's voice speaking to us through each other. We need each other. Exhorting one another. Hang in there, brother. God is in control, brother. It don't look like it. It don't feel like it. God's in control. It'll work out. Jesus is creative and powerful. He'll make a way for you, brother. He'll make a way for you, sister. Let's exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What is the sin he's talking about? What's the context? What is it? Unbelief. Unless any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And this is in the context of unbelief. Any sin can harden us and will harden us. I don't want to take away from that. But the context is here is clearly unbelief. And wavering from our profession of our faith, the profession of our faith. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Well, it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Verse 16, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. So as God speaks to us, and he gives the example here of the children of Israel. As God speaks to us, let's be faithful. Let's have the confidence. Let's have the faith. Part of the profession of our faith is that God will speak to me. God will direct me through the brothers, through the Word of God, by His Spirit. He will direct me. He'll speak to me. He'll show me more of Jesus. And it's the profession of our faith is also that God is in control. Listen, the boat's rocking and those 12 apostles are on there. And it does not look good. It doesn't feel good. The water's coming overboard. The whole thing looks like doom. But the profession of our faith says it'll be okay because Jesus is here. And he is creative and powerful. You see, God allows us to be tested. He allows our faith to be tested. It says the trial of our faith is more precious than gold that is tried in the fire. And it seems to me here, the children of Israel, as their faith was tested, you see, it'll show us. It'll show us the strength of our faith. It will show us the need in our lives as we are tested. But the circumstances of life will test our faith. So I want to encourage us that it will be tested. Our faith will be tried. God has an end in mind. God has a purpose. And God will use it. He will redeem it. And he will glorify his name. And he'll glorify Jesus. Let's look at chapter 4 for just a little bit. We can see this same profession, the 3 points in chapter 4 of Hebrews. And we're going to close up there. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. That's just amazing to me. That's not my message, but who is them? Still speaking about children of Israel, right? The message, the gospel was preached to them. I think it's because Jesus was there. He was there in the rock. He was there in different ways. He was there. But it says the gospel did not profit them. Because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. So as the message goes out, as God is speaking to us through the circumstances of life, through His Word, is speaking to us about Jesus, wanting to show us more of His Son, as we hear it, needs to be mixed with faith. It didn't profit him. It's important that we hear what God is saying, that we hear His Word, that our heart is soft, and that our heart is yearning, that we're wanting to hear that voice, that there's nothing in us that is resisting God or His Word. Nothing that is resisting. That's true non-resistance. Okay, it goes on here. We're not going to read all. Let's go down to verse 12. So there we see the call again, the profession of our faith is that God is speaking to us through the gospel. He's speaking to us through His Son, through His Word. Let's hear it. Let's be careful. Let's make sure we hear it. And that there's faith there. That's the profession of our faith. In verse 12, for the word of God is quick, and it reminds us here again of the creative power of the word of God, the creative ability of the word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open before unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. It's reminding us that Jesus is in control. His word is powerful. His word is creative. His word can take my life, and His word can show me those motives and intentions. I did the right thing, but I preached the message, but the motive was wrong. The intention was wrong, and the word of God says it was wrong. The word of God is powerful. He doesn't just leave us there, but He exposes that to the very core of our being. Because God is interested in getting us to do the right thing, but God is interested in changing us. Hallelujah. Painful, but we want it, don't we? Let me be conformed to the image of Jesus. Not just, He wants us to live right, and He will continue to teach us that, and that's important. Don't let me minimize that. But God is looking deeper than what I'm doing, and He's saying, wrong motive. Said the right words, but they were empty. You said you love Him, but you don't. Said the right thing. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God continues to work in our lives. That's why it's so important that we highly value and appreciate the Word of God. It's a profession of our faith. That God is speaking to us through His Word. And that Word is creative. That Word is transforming. It transforms us. It changes us. The Word of God is so powerful. And Christ, He is in control. And finally, as that happens in our life, the profession of our faith, He reminds us again, verses 14 through 16, that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our profession without wavering. The profession of our faith. Jesus Christ is our high priest. He has called us. He has saved us from our sins. And He will take us the whole way. He will make a way for us. Let us hold fast the profession of our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then he goes in several chapters and he emphasizes this high priest. But just follow those themes through Hebrews sometime. I want to encourage you. I was so blessed with the service here. And I appreciated what you shared, Brother Enos. I couldn't believe you put Hebrews 12, you took that first part of that phrase, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Just appreciated what you shared. The next verse says, looking unto Jesus. So let us run, looking unto Jesus. But you know, I don't know, I just want to throw this out there. You know what, I think it says there in You said every weight. You did. You appreciated how you expounded on that. But then it says the sin that which does so easily beset us. That's there's the sin. What is the sin of Hebrews? Unbelief. Every weight, let's lay it aside, and the sin. It just came through chapter 11. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, every one of those saints obtained righteousness. Oh, that just blesses me. And when it gets, you know, we look at the big things that some of those people did that are mentioned, and we think, wow. But then it comes down, it says, through faith, these saints of God, they subdued kingdoms and they wrought righteousness. They lived out righteousness by faith. We can do that because we have a great high priest and we have a great profession. Jesus Christ, God is speaking to us. He will direct us through his word. The word of God is powerful. It is creative and powerful. And he will intercede for us. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, which is basically Jesus Christ. He is the profession of our faith. He is our salvation. He is our redemption. He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the author and the finisher. It's Jesus Christ. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. And let's allow God to use the circumstances in our lives to purify our faith, to work in us. Let's ask him carefully. Say, God, do it in grace. Do it in mercy, Lord. But work in my life an unshakable faith, an unwavering faith. I'll read a story, an account here from a Jewish man. His name was Abraham Poljak. He says, I'm one of the Jews who escaped Germany. I thank God for all the strokes with which I was driven from darkness to light. It is better that we arrive beaten and bleeding at the glorious goal than that we decay happily and contented in darkness. This man was a Jew who escaped Nazis Germany. And this is what he said. I was driven from darkness to light. And I thank God for all the strokes, all the pain, the suffering. Because it's better that we arrive beaten and bleeding at the glorious goal than that we decay in happiness and contentedness. That we decay happily and contented in darkness. As long as things were all right with us, we did not know anything of God, Jewish man. And we didn't know anything of the salvation of our souls and of the world beyond. But Hitler's arrows and our misery have led us to the innermost heart. We have lost our earthly home, but found the heavenly one. We have lost our economic support, but we have won the friendship of the God of the ravens of Elijah. On the bitter ways of immigration, we have found Jesus, the riches of all worlds. It's okay. It's okay. The strokes, the pain, the misery. Let's allow all that to bring us to Jesus. It's okay if we find Jesus. And it works in us. More the image of his son. It's okay. God bless you.